All right, so I'm going to ask you this time, if you analyze that verse for a second, just peek at it and see what you can figure out. As you look at this verse, what do you think the third use of prayer is that we have ready for us tonight? Wisdom. Now, here's a question. Does anyone know what wisdom is?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, that was the first one.
Applying knowledge
to your life.
I heard it explained one time that
Okay. All right. Just being smart. Anybody else have any thoughts?
The difference between knowing there's a fire going on and knowing that you need to get out of the fire.
All right. Some common sense involved in that. Here's the deal. Yeah, go ahead. Take another stab. What?
Common sense.
Common sense. I think you just said that. But yeah, that's part of it. Here's the deal. Knowledge is something where you can know a whole lot of stuff. You can be pretty smart and know all sorts of things. You can even have a lot of common sense and be able to kind of put things together. Wisdom comes from truth. It comes from absolute truth that is able to be applied in your life so that you know as you face those difficult times in life what the truth is about it. And you're able to look at a decision and know truth, and it's been so deeply rooted in your heart that you're able to make the right choice because you're basing it on wisdom. The wisdom that can only come from absolute truth that we find in the Bible. Now, some of you guys are like, Rob, I was like, I'm in high school. Like, this is a little deep right now. What kind of big decisions have I had to make? And some of y'all are sitting here going, whew, I had to face those years ago. Right, there's all sorts of stories in this room. We're in all sorts of different spots. But the deal is that when you come to that point in your life, when you're facing that doozy of a problem and you're like, how do I choose this? How do I make the right choice here? Wisdom is so necessary in being able to look at that thing and make the right choice. This goes along where we see the first one where Satan comes in and tries to ruin you, where he comes in and tries to present these situations to you and whisper those things in your ears and try to tell you what his version of truth is and try to trick you and get you to believe lies. And without wisdom, without truth, you're doomed. And so you're like, well, how do I get it, Rob? Like, I don't know. Like, how do I get wisdom? Yet again, I love this. I love this whole lesson tonight because all I have to do is keep pointing up here. Scripture tells you right there. You pray for it. Isn't that awesome? You're like, that's kind of the new Sunday school answer, right? You just be like, almost every answer tonight is going to be prayer. Have you picked up on that pattern yet? Because prayer is so stinking powerful. And so if you're like, hey, I want that wisdom, but I'm just not sure how to get it, what we're told to do is ask God for it. You pray. And look what he'll do. He's not going to just give it to you. He's going to give it to you generously, like far above and beyond what you wanted before. All you got to do is pray. You got to truly want it and beg him for it. So prayer also is a way for us to get wisdom. Look at James 5:16. I kept you in James this time, so you don't have to flip too far. Just a couple pages. James 5:16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, we've already studied this verse before, but we didn't quite look at it from the aspect of prayer. So as we look at it tonight, something I want you to notice about the use of prayer is that prayer is a way for you to go to God and beg God for people who are backsliding. You see it up there? You get that friend in your life that you love so dearly that you see just headed down this wrong path and you're like, where are you going, man? And what do? You ever been in that situation where you're like, you're kind of the one in your group that's not doing those things or going to those places, or you hit that certain grade where everybody else is starting to like, youth group's not so cool anymore, church isn't that great, but these parties are pretty awesome, those bonfires are a lot of fun, and doing this is a lot of fun, and I know I shouldn't be getting involved in that, but you know, my friends are doing it, and you're that one that's like, I don't know. I'm not sure I should really be involved in that stuff. I'm not sure I should be living that type of double life where I show up at church and smile, but I'm out getting drunk and doing drugs every night. But you got those people there, you know, and they're, and you love them, and you're like, they're my friends, you know. What do? You pray. It's so easy, you know. You pray. When you have a heart of prayer, when you have a humble heart that says, God, I can't do any of this, the answer is going to always be prayer, by the way. Just a little hint on this one. You get on your knees and you go, God, I love these people dearly, and I don't want to see them mess their life up. They need you. The Bible tells us to pray for people who are backsliding. Confess our sins to one another. Pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. All right, so next one is Jude 20. Now, here's something about Jude. Most of you have probably never even read anything in this book, have you? Anybody ever opened the book of Jude? There's like good job of the three of you who have done that. Now, it's probably because it's a very short book. Jude 20 is not chapter 20, by the way. It's verse 20. I don't need to tell you a chapter for that book, just a verse. So Jude, verse 20. Look what this says. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Here's a key ingredient I do not want you to miss tonight. Sometimes we think of prayer as this, it's a weapon, it's a tool, it's something that we use in this Christian walk or whatever. It's just something that we do at night as we get near our bed, whatever, or pray before we eat. And for us, it's a time to like sit around with your friends and find out what's going on in each other's lives. And that's the extent of prayer to us. It's like, what's going on with you? What's going on with you? Let's pray about it. And here's what we learn about prayer from this verse. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. You know that it's not really even so much what you ask for or whether you get it. Prayer is about God using that time that you spend with Him to build you in His faith, to take you and make you a person that will believe and trust your God with unbreakable faith because you're constantly being dependent on Him and leaning on Him and bowing at His throne. Prayer is the tool that actually makes you stronger in your faith. Sometimes we think it's just for like, hey God, this is what's going on. Think you can help out? But really, the result is that as you lean on your Savior, He builds the faith inside of you. Faith is a powerful tool if it's used correctly. And so we learn from this verse here that believers are strengthened in their faith through prayer. The more you do it, the more you grow in your faith in Christ. Look at Matthew 26:41, just to back that one up. It says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know how you deal with a weak flesh and you're strengthened in your faith? It's the same answer again. You pray. Are you getting it? Shake your hand if you're getting it tonight. You get the pattern? You're seeing what's pretty important for us to be doing? The answer is prayer. Let's look at the next one. We're almost done here. Matthew 9:38 is where we see this next use of prayer. It says, therefore, pray earnestly. Anyone know what earnestly means? Ever seen those movies, Ernest Goes to Camp and Ernest Goes to Prison and Ernest Saves Christmas? The Ernest movies, anybody ever see those? A couple of you, dude, Ernest is awesome. If you haven't, you need to either Google it, YouTube it, or just rent it, something like Netflix or something. Ernest is hilarious, but that's not this at all. I don't even know how I got off on this. What does earnestly mean? It's not Ernest Goes to Camp, yeah. That's part of it, yeah. Huh? It's part of it.
Honest and sincere.
Sincere. Genuine. Yeah.
I kind of think of it as like, whatever you're doing earnestly, you almost have an addiction. You're doing it so hard.
Passionately, right? Giving like 100%, like this purity of what you're doing. And so pray with that. That's how we're supposed to pray. That's how we're supposed to go before our God. Genuine, sincere, with passion, giving 100% of ourselves before Him. It says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. And here's the key of this, to send out laborers into the harvest. Have you figured it out yet? Like, what's the use of prayer that we're seeing in this verse? When are we supposed to pray here? To send people out, right? To say, hey, I'm looking all around me and I'm seeing God open all these doors with people that need Jesus and want Jesus, but where's all the people that are helping share the gospel? You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, man, there's a lot of people in my school that need Jesus. And you're looking around your hallways and people walking up and down like by the lockers and in the cafeteria, you're like, there's a lot of people here that don't know Christ. How are we going to share Christ with all these kids? As I pray over the public schools in this area, my heart often feels this way, overwhelmed. there are so many students walking up and down your hallways in your schools. And they don't know Jesus, and they need to, and a lot of them are ready for it. And I'm not even allowed to go in there and tell them that. But you're sitting next to them every day in class, and you're playing sports with them on the field. And I'm praying and begging God that He sends some laborers right here out of this group. Some missionaries, some ministers, some godly men and women that just go to high school and love on the people in their high school and share the gospel to this harvest that's ready to hear it. I'm praying that over you. I'm begging Him. I'm doing this right now for you, that you stand up and start doing that. We went to Devereux with Jubilation this last weekend. I'll tell you what, ask any of these kids who went to Devereux. That is a place full of kids that are ready for the gospel. Man, you're talking to me like I was asking them, what's the best present you could possibly get? What do you think? And I asked a few of them, and one said an iPhone, and another one was like, I just want to go home. You know? I just want to go home. I'm tired of being in this place. I want to see my family. And he started telling me all the things that's happening to him, that's going on in his life. There's some deep stuff. Some of you guys could probably relate to it. Most of us probably couldn't. But they're ready. They're like, I've already seen everything in my life fall down around me. I don't really want anything else. I just need something that's really valuable. And they're ready for the gospel, but we need people to go. It's awesome that Jube's going there. Hopefully some of you guys will join us next time. Go, help us love on these kids and share the gospel. Pray when you're looking around you going, how's the gospel going to get out? Beg God that He send missionaries, that He send people that want to share His word. Afterwards, I'm standing in the line there. I'm standing handing out pizza, and all the kids are coming through pizza and getting pizza, and this one kid I hadn't seen yet had walked up to me and just looks at me, and he goes, hey. I was like, hey. And he's like, I want that gift you're talking about. And I thought he was like messing with me, like he just wanted more pizza or something. I was like, all right. And I laugh, and I like go to hand him a piece of pizza, and the dude just starts bawling. All right, I feel like a total jerk. I'm like, oh my bad, you know, like what'd I do? So I take him over and we sit in the side. You know what he tells me? He's like, no, I wasn't talking about pizza. He's like, these other kids want to go home. He's like, I can't go home. I've been abused in my house since I was 2 years old. I don't want to go home. He's like, I got nothing left. There's nothing that you could offer me that I want. The one thing you were talking about up there, we read John 3:16. He said, oh, God loves the world so much. He gave His Son. It's the gift. It's the greatest gift. He's like, that one. That's the one I want. We didn't do anything. We just showed up bringing the gospel, and this kid was ready. He had already seen everything fall down around him, and he was wanting the gospel. And right there, he accepted Christ. He sat down and prayed and accepted Jesus. It was that easy. Because there are people that are ready, but the laborers just aren't going. I'm begging God to send laborers out of you. Turn you guys into laborers so that you're out there. Some of you are doing it. I see you. And there's others that are being called, and God's ready for you to stand up and bring the gospel to a world that's ready for it. Because there's a lot of harvest. All right. So prayer, we can pray that God sends people to bring His gospel. Next, James 5:15. We're almost done. James 5:15. Back to James. We've seen a whole lot of spiritual things, reasons to pray for. And I hope you're starting to understand how spiritual prayer is. That if we're truly looking at God and have our eyes focused on things above and not on things of the earth, we're going to be praying for spiritual things. Those are the things that last for eternity. Those are the things we should be begging God for. Not so much the physical things that have just a short limit of time, you know? But here we see a different story, that there are some really legit physical things that we should be begging God for. James 5:15 says, "And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up." When you have people in your life that are sick, that are hurting, you can go to God and know that your God is the same Savior that walked this earth healing the sick, casting out demons. That is the same God who spent hours upon hours of His ministry just surrounded by people that would come begging for physical healing, and Jesus didn't turn them away. He loved them with His whole heart, and He healed. We see stories in Scripture of how lame men stood up and walked, and blind could see. Lepers were healed. God in an instant healed people because He truly cares about those things. And He truly loves you. And so as you have those people in your life that you might be nervous about, that you might know is sick, and you go to God. Scripture says, pray about it. Bring it before your God who is able to heal. more than anyone else, the one who put your very atoms together knows exactly how to arrange them to make you whole again. He's big enough and he's strong enough and he'll do it. And there's his promise. Pray. And then finally, here's the last one I want to share with you tonight, Mark 11. Pop over to Mark 11. Some of your fingers are already like cramped up and tired and you can't turn anymore. Struggle through it. Mark 11, the last verse. Verses 23 and 24. The last big use of prayer that I want us to see tonight is in Mark 11, 23 and 24. Here it is. It says, "Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes in what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Did you hear it? We kind of took everything that we've talked about up to this point and summarized it into one nice, solid chunk. Prayer is how we can accomplish the impossible. Now, be careful as we read this verse and understand this verse, because if you watch TV, you might hear a whole bunch of pastors get on with their hair slicked back and the nice shiny teeth smiling at you, winking their eyes, telling you because of this verse, you can have whatever you want. Pray for a Ferrari. A Ferrari's going to be outside. Woohoo, good job. Walk around begging, "Hey, I want a mansion." God's going to pop a mansion in your life. Just ask and you're going to have it. Do you think that's what this verse is saying? Believe me, after we've studied for 4 weeks the truth of Scripture and what our hearts should look like as we come to God with humility, wanting His kingdom more than any physical thing, do you think that's what He's trying to say here? As we pray the way we've learned now that Christ wants us to pray, as we studied the Lord's Prayer, and we beg Him for the things that He loves and is concerned about, do you think there's any stopping Him? As prayer takes your heart and your faith and aligns it with the God of the universe in His will, do you think there's any stopping Him? You see, sometimes we look up at those impossible situations and they are giant. And so right now, they're probably tugging on your heart and you're thinking about it right now, those things in your life that you're just like, "Whew, how?" This verse is so awesome because you can look to your God who's looking down going, "I'm so much bigger than that problem, Rob. I know you're looking up at it and you're standing in its shadow and you're scared out of your mind thinking it's impossible. But the beautiful thing about prayer is you're asking someone who's way bigger than any of your problems. A God who's totally in control of everything. And it's not you fighting this thing. It's not you trying to win this battle. I'm going to be doing it for you. So don't get scared unless you think I'm not big enough to do this. Because I'm going to help you accomplish the impossible if your heart's in line with me." I know Holly was telling me this story. Miss Holly, is she here tonight? I don't see her tonight, but I'm going to try to quote her as best possible, all right? Because this is her story, and if I might get it wrong, you can ask her later to make sure I got it right, okay? But sometimes we look at these things that come in our life, these hard times or different trials that we're facing, and they tick us off. Let's be honest, like nobody likes to go through hard things. And we can look at it. Sometimes we can go to God and be like, "Why? Why are you letting this happen to me, God? How come this thing is coming in my life? Like, it's not fair. Where are you right now?" But sometimes we might not be seeing it very clearly why God is letting that come. Sometimes we're not understanding that He loves us and wants the best for us. And so if this thing's coming, it must be the best for us. Or we don't really believe He has the best in store for us. And so we get this wrong picture. It's like this story kind of, it might be a stretch, but Holly told me this, so I got to share it. She said that she went to a Catholic school when she was little. Okay. And in this Catholic school, her teacher was, her name was Sister Grace. And she wore like, she was a nun, you know, she wore like the little nun thing. Like, anyone ever see The Flying Nun before? Ever see that show way back? Do they still show that? I don't know. Where she's like, whew, and her thing. Anyway, whatever. So she would look like that. She was a nun. But she was a strict nun. Okay, it was like a strict school. So these students couldn't talk. They couldn't move. You weren't allowed to talk in class. And what they would do is back in the day, you were actually allowed to take a ruler and smack the knuckles of your students. Like it wasn't a big deal to do that today. Right? back then it could happen. So be lucky that you go to school nowadays and not back then. Miss Holly has like bruises on her knuckles from Sister Grace even till this day. That might be an exaggeration, but I heard she was really mean. That's how she described her. So they weren't allowed to do anything, even go to the bathroom. Kind of a problem, right? And there was this one girl that sat in the front row. No, sorry, she was sitting in the back. Holly said she sat in the front. This little girl was sitting all the way in the back, but she was the cutest little girl. She was so sweet. She never did anything wrong. She was that girl that had like the pigtails, you know, little blonde hair, and she had like the little pink ribbons, and she always sat like this and smiled. Everybody loved her. You know, she never did anything wrong. Well, one day she had to pee. All right, she had to tinkle. So she asked Sister Grace. She's like, Sister Grace, I need to go to the bathroom. And she's kind of already doing the dance, you know, like, I gotta go. And Sister Grace is like, you don't go to the bathroom in my school. You just go out and break things in the hallway. I know what you want to do. So no. All right. So she goes back. She's starting to teach. A little girl raises her hand again. She's like, but Sister Grace, I'm going to go to the bathroom bad. And she's like, no, you just want to break things in the hallway. No, you can't go out. And she's like, man, Sister Grace just doesn't get it. Like, I got to go to the bathroom. And she's like, you can hear her desk kind of like rocking, like, tick, 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 tick. You have to go to the bathroom that bad. Your teacher won't let you go ever. Like, you know. Uh-oh, they're picking on you, Mrs. Hobbs. It's horrible. And so this poor little girl's in the back, and she's like grabbing her desk, and her knuckles are like pure white because she has to go to the bathroom so bad. And she's like, no, go back to work. So Holly's like trying not to get in trouble, because at this point, Sister Grace is pretty ticked off. So Holly's just going to like get her head down, and she's like writing in her book, just trying to like do her work, you know, like avoid the wrath of Sister Grace. And all of a sudden, there's this little boy that sat way in the back behind Holly. And he was one of those guys that wasn't like that little girl. He wasn't like the studious one. He was the troublemaker. He was the one that hated homework. He hated studying. And as he sat there, he was always like doodling or like making things instead. You ever have like a kid, maybe some of you guys are like that. You like make the paper airplanes and all the like, because you don't want to listen, right? And so he's bored. He's back there. Well, all of a sudden, put all these elements together. Holly's just down trying to do her work. And she hears something. That's kind of strange noise, you know? And then she kind of hears it getting closer. She's like, it's really weird, you know? She looks down, and there is this stream of tinkle. I'm not making this up. Holly said it. There is a stream of tinkle coming down the aisle. And in this stream of tinkle is a little paper boat. What? You can ask Holly. She told me that story. If it's a lie, it's her fault. And she told me that. I'm thinking, wow, like, that is a story of taking lemons and making lemonade, right? Like, you look at this horrible situation. Oh, that was probably gross. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't think that went over. Maybe not that kind of lemonade. Wow, how am I going to pull this back together? Here's the deal. I know, I cursed it. Here's the deal, though. Let me get you serious for one more second so I can make my final point. We really do need to look at life sometimes and see the other side of it. You know, that little guy in the back, it's just, I love the perspective of the kid. I know it's a weird story, but that blame Holly for that, okay? Just the perspective of saying, you know, I'm in a bad situation. I don't think anybody liked to be in that class, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to make lemonade. Sometimes we really do need to be a little crazy. I got to stop saying lemonade. I'm never going to get to the end of the sermon. I'm just going to avoid that whole, forget that whole thing. Here's the deal. God does what God does for a reason. I want you to know that. All jokes aside, listen to me and look at me. God does what God does for a reason. And he tells us in Scripture that he loves you dearly. And that the things that he does is for your best. And that means even the things that are hard that are coming your way. Even those trials that you're having to stand up and face. Because here's what those trials do. They drive you to your knees. They force you down into the throne room of Christ and say, God, I need you. And I hate to say it, and I don't mean to be mean, but some of y'all who are sitting here tonight, you really need to be broken. You need God to drive you to your knees and break your spirit in that way so you recognize that he's God and you're really not. That you don't have it all figured out like you'd think you do. that the things that you're getting involved in right now is straight up sin and you need to get out of it. And you need to be on your knees before the God of the universe. And the best way to do that is to get on your face in prayer before Him and say, God, break me and give me faith. So tonight as we look at prayer, what I want you to know is that everything that God wants to do in your life, He's left it up to one thing. Prayer. Everything He wants to do in your life is through prayer. Because He's going to use prayer as more than just a way for you to get stuff. He's going to use prayer as a way to make you a person of faith. So no matter the circumstance or the outcome of what you ask, you're going to get more of Him. And you're going to end up walking away stronger because He built your faith through it. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a second. The band's going to make their way up here for a second, and then we're going to do some more worship. And as they come, I just want you to get serious for a second. Because as we come to worship, we need to come with clean hearts. We need to be able to come with our hands, clean hands lifted up before Him. So I want you to take a second and ask God to forgive you of whatever you're doing in your life right now that needs forgiveness. Get your heart clean. Before you enter this throne room, I want you to get your heart clean. So you could stand before your God and shout out how big and awesome He is and how in love with Him you are with a clean heart. And I want you to beg Him to make you a person of faith. So as you sing these words, you could sing them earnestly, genuinely, passionately. I want to invite you up here to come and you pray to your God in the form of worship.